بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal has given us another opportunity to meet. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He never deprive us of each other in this worldly life. And most importantly, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to gather us in a better place than this world, and that is in the paradise. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Brothers and sisters in Islam, you're all aware that tonight's lecture is titled, When All the Doors Have Closed. And what we want to discuss tonight is a powerful dua that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches his ummah. And this is a dua that is an ultimate solution to every single problem that you and I will ever experience in life. But before we start with this dua, we need to readjust and restart our minds on the importance of having a connection and a relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Brothers and sisters in Islam, when all the doors have closed, and that could be in any aspect of your life, in terms of relationships, let's say your relationships with people are not working, and every time you establish a relationship, it closes. Maybe the doors that are closing in your face are doors related to your financial affairs, your businesses, your wealth, your job, your health, whatever the case may be, the doors are closing and they are shutting closed in your face. When all the doors have closed, this is a sign and a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not read what Allah azza wa jal wants from you, you will fail miserably. And if you read the message of Allah azza wa jal correctly, then this door was only closed that Allah Azza wa Jal will open another door for you. The message, when every single door on earth is closed, the message to you and I is that Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to rush towards Him and to re-establish that relationship with Him. Because if all the doors on earth have closed, then the doors of the heavens remain open. They don't close. Imagine there was a tunnel and there were doors on the left and on the right of it. And you began to run to the closest door you want to exit out of it. And the door would close in your face. And the doors on the left of the tunnel and the right of the tunnel begin to close. What happens? You are forced in one direction. And that is the direction to the light at the end of the tunnel. Think of it like that. When every worldly door has closed, you are forced to keep moving until you re-establish that relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal and you enter through the doors of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the message that you and I are supposed to read. And this is what many Muslims suffer today. You know, one of the problems that Muslims suffer today is that they open the news and they see a bit of news of events that are happening globally. Then they flick to social media and they flick through their reels and they see the filthy state of some of the Muslims. They see the sins, they see the corruption, they see the oppression, they see the injustice. And what happens to the average Muslim? He loses hope. He loses hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sees that the doors have closed and he gives up. He says, there is no solution for the world. Have you seen already comments people putting and saying, just nuke the world already? People are talking like this. They're saying, what's the point? Everything is closed. We've lost hope in humanity. There is no need to exist anymore. People are talking and they're saying, at this point, I just want to not exist anymore. What kind of hopelessness is this? This is not allowed for the believer to settle with such hopelessness in his heart. So this is what Muslims suffer across the world. They look on their social media, and that's the kind of emotion and feeling that they will have in their heart after they consume all this content that is out there. Brothers and sisters in Islam, yes, There may be no hope on earth. There may be no hope with anyone on earth. People are just like you and I. We're always in desperate need of each other and services of each other. So there may be no hope on earth. Maybe the doors are closed and shut on earth. But did you once tell yourself to look up to the heavens and remind yourself that the doors of Allah Azza wa Jal remain open and they never close? Brothers and sisters in Islam, our soul needs Allah Azza wa Jal 24 hours of the day, 7 days of the week. It cannot survive without Allah Azza wa Jal. The soul is ultimately from Allah. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. The soul was given to you by Allah Azza wa Jal. So it desperately needs Allah Azza wa Jal because it came from Him. Whereas if you were to observe the body, it came from the earth. It was made from organic matter on the earth. So the body is always in need of what the earth produces, of water and crops and vegetables and food and so on, for its survival. But the soul cannot survive without Allah Azza wa Jal. Hence the desperate need for the slave to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I tell you something, brothers and sisters in Islam, if you distance yourself from people, those that you love, you see, each and every single one of us, you have people that you love in your life, whether family or friends and so on. If you choose to distance yourself from them, you become to feel isolated and lonely and sad and worried and depressed. These are the feelings that will be instilled within you if you distance yourself from loved ones. Imagine then the state of a person who distances himself from Allah, from his Lord, from his Maker, from his Creator. What kind of misery would he be feeling in life? Sometimes the misery that you're feeling, the answer is very simple. It is a relationship that you're supposed to establish with Allah and turn back to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, every single prophet and every single messenger had doors closed in his face. Every single prophet and every single messenger, doors closed. Look at the situation of Ayyub alayhi salam. He lost his family, he lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost his health to the point where he couldn't even get out of his bed to relieve himself. His wife had to carry him. He lost his reputation among his community. They all ran away from him because they feared he might have a disease that we may contract. This was Ayyub alayhi salam. Imagine the doors are closing in his face. What did he do in this situation? We'll get to it. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the doors closed in his face as well. When the people got a hold of him and they were ready now to throw him in the fire and he could not run away. Halas, he is going to face tormentful punishment in this life, and that is the fire. So the doors of this worldly life closed in his face. If you look at the situation of the people of the cave that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions their story in the Quran, the doors closed in their face, literally. The society was out to get them and they wanted to stone them to death because they avoided the worship of idols of the king at the time. So literally they end up in a cave and they were fugitives of the law. And where are they going to go? Where are they going to get their food from? Where are they going to get their water? Where are they going to get their supply? Where are they going to go? So the worldly doors have closed in their face and they're stuck in a cave. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us also about Nuh alayhi salam and how the doors closed in his face as well. When Allah Azza wa Jal would command him to build a ship, an ark in the middle of the desert, and he's been giving da'wah to his people 950 years and no one is answering, no one is responding. What's the solution? The door has closed. If you were to observe the case of Maryam radiallahu anha also, the doors had shut completely in her face. She's now carrying this newborn. She's going back to her people. And obviously they are all going to accuse her of a zina wal-iyadu billah. Imagine that. Imagine you being innocent from a sin and then you're accused of it and you're not able to prove your innocence. That is the worst type of oppression you'll ever face. Accused of something you never did and at the same time you don't have anything in where you can prove your innocence from this matter. So there you go, doors are shut in her face. Look at the situation of Asiya, radiallahu anha, the wife of Fir'aun. Literally the doors are closed in her face. And she ends up being beaten on the ground by the army and the soldiers of Fir'aun. And you observe the situation of Musa alayhi salam. And he's a fugitive of the law. He's on the run as well. And they want him killed. Where is he going to go? What's he going to eat? Where is he going to sleep? What kind of clothes is he wearing at the time? All of this, the doors are closed in prophets' faces, worldly doors. Lakin Yajfin, you see the situation of Lut alayhi salam as well. He's living among a community that is becoming filthy every single day. People in his society are corrupt, are filthy, men are sleeping with each other, and he's among all of this filth and this corruption. What is he going to do? The situation seems to be very impossible. I cannot do this anymore. So brothers and sisters, why am I giving you these examples? To tell you that you're not a bad person if doors are closed and shut in your face. You're not. Some people read the message of Allah wrong. They say the doors are closed in my face. Every time I try to do a halal business deal, Allah shuts it. Every time I want to pursue a halal marriage, Allah shuts it. Every time I want to do this and I want to do that, it's closed. Well, people much before us, better than you and I, doors were closed also in their face. The only difference here is that they read the message of Allah right and they acted exactly how Allah wanted them. And that's what you and I are supposed to follow. So let's revisit these examples and see what happened. Very quickly, Ayyub alayhi salam, we told you, the doors are closed in his face. Rabbi massani al-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. He turns to Allah through a dua, through the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal, my Lord. He says, my Lord, I feel the pain, I'm feeling it. Massani al-durru, and you're the most merciful. Allahu Akbar. And soon later Allah azza wa jal opens up the doors for him. He gives him his health again, his wealth again, his children again. People come back to him. Allahu Akbar. It's like nothing had closed in his life before this. He read the message right. The relief came from Allah azza wa jal. You notice the situation of Ibrahim alayhi salam. As he's being thrown in the fire, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. He remembered Allah azza wa jal. He called to Allah. He understood that the doors were only closed so that Allah azza wa jal forces him in the direction of his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's exactly what he uttered. Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. An instant relief will come. The fire becomes cool and peace upon him. And he exits the fire. And muhajirun ila rabbi. He migrates to Allah azza wa jal. What an amazing story of Ibrahim alayhi salam afterwards. The people of the cave. The doors are sealed. They're shut. They're in the cave. What are they going to do? They look at each other and they say, Rabbana atina min ladunka rahmah wa hayyi lana min amrina rashada. Our Lord, grant us a special mercy from you. Min ladunk, because here on earth, we've given up hope in everyone. But from you, we haven't given up the hope. Atina min ladunka rahmah wa hayyi lana min amrina rashada. And make our situation flexible. Make it easy for us. Allah Azza wa Jal, instant relief at that moment, causes them to sleep for the next 300 plus years, looking after them all that time. Allahu Akbar. A door will close so that it forces you to renew that relationship and to utter that relationship you have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nuh alayhi salam, once the situation became difficult and corruption and filth all around him, he turns to Allah azza wa jal with a dua. Rabbi najjini wa ahli mimma ya'malun. My Lord, save me and my family from the filth that these people are doing. Instant relief, and Allah azza wa jal opens a door and he exits this situation altogether. Nuh alayhi salam, the same thing. When all the doors have closed and he lost hope in his people, he turns to Allah. Rabbi inni maghloob fantasir. My Lord, I've been overtaken by my people. Maghloob, I've become defeated among my people. Fantasir, give me victory. Instant relief comes and Allah azza wa jal grants him victory. You look at the situation of Maryam radiallahu anha. And she comes and she approaches the people. And she says to them, when the doors have closed, who's going to save you from that situation? When your chastity and your dignity has been accused, How are you going to save yourself from this situation? The doors have closed. She would say at that time, إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. She said to her people, I've made a commitment to Allah that I will remain silent. فَلَنْ أُكَلِّمَ الْيَوْمَ إِنْسِيًّا. I will not speak to a single human being from today. What does that mean? Meaning the only one I will speak to is Allah Azza wa Jal. Therefore, once again, when the doors were closed, the only one she's interested in keeping communication and talk was with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You look at the situation of Asiya radiallahu anha, under the tormentful beating and punishment of Fir'aun and his army. And at that moment when the doors were closed, what did she say? رَبِّ ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ وَعَمَلِهِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. My Lord, build for me a house. عندك. I want to be neighbors with you. Build a house right beside you. ابْنِ لِي عِنْدَكَ بَيْتًا فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَنَجِّنِي مِنْ فِرْعَوْنَ. Save me from Fir'aun and his people. وَنَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. And save me from the wrongdoers and the evildoers. And that's the same situation with Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, I told you, the doors are closed. He ran away from Egypt because the army was coming to come after him. They want him dead. So he comes out. He has no clue where he's going. He's got no compass, no GPS to guide him through this desert. But then he turns and he says, Allah Azza wa Jal says about him, فَخَرَجَ مِنْهَا خَائِفًا. He left Egypt scared and worried. And now Musa alayhi salam is a human being. He experiences these emotions. The doors were that shut and sealed that he felt lonely. He felt worried and scared. يَتَرَقَّبْ. And he was anticipating, awaiting something. And then he said, رَبِّي نَجِّنِي مِنَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Once again, he turned to Allah with a dua. He said, my Lord, save me from the wrongdoers, from the evildoers. Instant relief will come. After 8 days of travel in the desert, he will find his work opportunity with Madian, and he will do service in that community, and he'll eventually marry the daughter of Shu'aib in that community, and his life continues from there. So brothers and sisters in Islam, I intended to give you a lot of examples at the beginning so I can show you that these prophets, and not all of them were prophets, some were noble, righteous people, but one thing, one common thing among them all is that when the doors shut in their face, they all were quick to recognize and realize that the doors of the heavens remain, and they would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling on to Allah Azza wa Jal for His mercy and for His relief. And this is exactly what the believers should be doing when the doors have closed. Because Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَى اللَّهِ فَبِهُدَاهُمْ اِقْتَدِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, these are the people that Allah Azza wa Jal has guided, so follow in their guidance. Follow their guidance. For what an incredible and an amazing journey to begin tonight with. And that is to remind each other and to encourage and inspire one another that when the doors have shut in your life, in any aspect of life, the believer is supposed to read the message of Allah correctly. And that Allah Azza wa Jal wants you to turn to Him and further that relationship and implore Him and beg Him subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you want in your life and worldly affairs. Brothers and sisters in Islam, especially in the last third of the night, in when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِذَا كَانَ ثُلُثُ اللَّيْلِ الْبَاقِي. When the last third of the night remains, which approximately is about 2 a.m. When that time enters, يَهْبِطُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ الدُّنْيَا. Allah Azza wa Jal descends to the lowest heaven subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ أَبْوَابَ السَّمَاءِ. And then He opens the doors of the heavens. He opens the doors of the heavens. ثُمَّ يَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ. Then He stretches His hand out. All of this we believe in. How it happens? The knowledge of this is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will say, هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ يُعْطَى سُؤْلُهُ. Is there anyone that he's asking, is there anyone that wants anything so that I may give him? And it's one thing for Allah to say, is there anyone asking? And it's a completely another thing for Allah to say, is there anyone asking for something so that I may give him? You see this, so that I may give him, we learn from this that at that time a dua is a guaranteed accepted dua. That's what we learn from it. Allahu Akbar. Imagine a king in this worldly life came to you and said, brother, sister, is there something you want and I can give you at this very moment? What does that mean? Yani it means ask and you will get what you want right now. You will get it. هَلْ مِنْ سَائِلٍ يُعْطَى سُؤْلَهُ فَلَا يَزَالُ كَذَلِكَ حَتَّى يَطْلُعَ الْفَجْرُ. Allah Azza wa Jal remains repeating this until Adhan al-Fajr. Imagine this, your Lord saying and repeating throughout the entire third of the night, do you want anything so I may give you? Do you want anything so I may give you? The one who is serious and really troubled and bothered in this worldly life would be up at that time praying and asking Allah Azza wa Jal. And the one who's not bothered and troubled by anything would most likely be asleep at this time. So don't complain and don't be confused when you sleep through this time and you're still in shock. How come my worldly affairs haven't changed yet? Maybe you make the change first. And I tell you something, you don't have to be up from your bed in a state of wudu, in your salat. And I often say to my brothers and sisters in Islam, ad-du'a doesn't require wudu. Ad-du'a doesn't require you facing al-qibla. Ad-du'a doesn't require for you to be in a salat. Ad-du'a requires a present heart, and that's it. So at 2 a.m., if you feel like it's too cold for you to get up, raise your hand from your bed and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that which you need. If you feel like your sins are bothering you, and this is the case for all of us, and that they are what is sealing and shutting the doors, because most likely that's the case, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is also asking, is there anyone out there seeking forgiveness so that I may forgive him? So this is the real relationship that the slave has with his Lord, especially at this time. Cannot go to waste, brothers and sisters in Islam. You know, when Jibreel comes down, it's Laylatul Qadr. What do you say about the night in where Allah himself comes down? You might think that, wallah, if Allah Azza wa Jal comes down, that has to be a special event and it should be happening once every 10 years. Lakin it's happening every single night. Why? This is Allah teaching us that you are in need of Allah Azza wa Jal every single night and every single day. This is why he would come down every single night, so that I'm available for my slaves, for my servants. And this is an intimate type of relationship. Otherwise Allah Azza wa Jal always answers the dua of a servant any time of the day and the night. But when you're serious about your problems, you will make sure that you are before Allah Azza wa Jal in the times He loves for you to be standing before Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there are times more virtuous than others. And that last part of the night is the most virtuous part of the night. So brothers and sisters in Islam, we pay attention to this matter. And I tell you something. We said at the beginning of the talk, when all the doors have closed, we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a dua. And I want to tell you something here that I find quite dangerous. Among the many words that the youth and others speak, sometimes I get this. And this thing is growing now. And perhaps you've heard it. Sometimes people say, brother, this and this and this is happening. And I've tried this and this. Please tell me something other than dua, salat and Quran. Have you heard this or not? Tell me something other than a dua. And I say, brother, I don't give in to these things. The moment I hear this, I say, brother, repeat what you said. I will give you something other than a dua. Yani, what guidance do you want? Give you something from the Bible. Yani, I tell you what of solution is there. أنت مسلم والله يا أنت مسلم. I'm telling you, these are prophets and these are noble people. And in the most pressing situations, when the doors are shut closed, they would, Rabbi, 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 all of them. So what are you, يعني, what are you looking for? A magic pill? Doesn't exist. Doesn't exist on the market. Your medicine is to turn to Allah. You've turned, turn again. You turned again, turn a third time. Keep turning every time you turn. Allah loves this. Imagine, this is a problem that exists in your life that is forcing you to turn to Allah and re-establish this relationship with Him. That's the beauty of the entire situation. Imagine the problem didn't exist and the door never closed. How heedless would you be? How far away from Allah Azza wa Jal would you be? Often we ask, why did Allah create problems in this worldly life? Why? Couldn't have He created us like how He created Adam in the paradise with a stress-free life, calamity-free life? Of course Allah could have created this on earth for us. Definitely He could have. But how heedless would it have made us? How tough would have the heart become? You would have seen no purpose to turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. You would have found no desperation to turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. And as a result, you would have seen that all of us would have been doomed and destroyed on the Day of Judgment. So no, we'd rather a life that Allah created with its pains and calamities, but it leads us to Allah and to the paradise, than a life stress-free, keeping us away from Allah, and eventually ending up in a position that is no good. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to allow us to appreciate and understand this meaning. Brothers and sisters in Islam, wallahi, I tell you something. Your relationship with ad-du'a would say a lot about your relationship with Allah. The more du'a in your life, the stronger ad-du'a in your life, we can already tell. And that's a good sign for you to know that your relationship with Allah is strong. And if your relationship with a du'a is weak, heck, once a while, then that means that your relationship with Allah is also broken and once a while. Ey Allah, understand and take this as I'm saying to you, as I'm saying it to you. Understand it like this. When you make a du'a, you're talking to Allah. When you have very little du'a in your life, I don't know, is it, can we say about this person who said, well, I don't enjoy talking to Allah, so I don't really find any need to talk to Him now. Whenever I got something, I'll talk to Him. Is that what he's saying? The one that abandons a du'a and has very little du'a in his life? I tell you an example, give you an example so you can understand. If you were to ask me about someone I know, and you said to me, how is brother so-and-so? And I said to you, Wallah, alhamdulillah, he's very good. Wallah, I speak to him every day. What are you going to think? You're going to think that my relationship with him is very strong, right? Imagine you asked me about the same brother. And I said to you, and you told me, how is he? I said, Wallah, brother, man, last time I spoke to him was, I think, just before Ramadan. Yeah, alhamdulillah, he was good then. Automatically, what does that tell you about my relationship with him? It's not as strong. Yeah, it's there, but it's not strong. If I said to you, I speak to the brother every day, mashallah, I see him at the cafe, I talk to him, mate. There's a well-established relationship. Brothers and sisters in Islam, to Allah belongs the highest of examples. Lakin your dua says a lot about your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why, shuf, ad-du'a is in as-salat. Ad-du'a is in the mornings, adhkar al-sabah. Ad-du'a is in the evenings, adhkar al-masa'. We're encouraged to get up in the last third of the night. Ad-du'a is after the prayers. Ad-du'a is before the salat, between al-adhan wal-iqama. Ad-du'a exists many times during the day and many times during the night, so that Allah Azza wa Jal helps us and enables us to strengthen our relationship with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, a dua that I want to share with you, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to, يعني, we have about half an hour left with each other. We're going to go through it, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we're going to come out with amazing results, inshallah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is a dua that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. And this dua is supposed to be said once in the morning and once in the evening. That's how important it is. Some people, they're on medication and they have to take the pill twice a day. The morning and the evening adhkar work like that. 2 doses a day. If you miss them, you're going to feel pain and the day and the night is not going to be right. Ad-du'a was mentioned in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha, مَا يَمْنَعُكِ أَن تَسْمَعِي مَا أُوصِيكِ بِهِ. He said, Fatima, what prevents you from doing and listening to that which I want to advise you of? Well, nothing is stopping her. But this is a means in how to capture the attention of the listener. It's like if I was to say to you, I got advice for you. Why don't you listen to my advice? You say, what do you want? What's your advice? Tell me. I'll be a lot more excited. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does this with his daughter Fatima radiallahu anha. He says to her, إِذَا أَصْبَحْتِ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتِ. Whenever you enter the morning, which is after Salat al-Fajr, and whenever you enter the evening, which is Asr time, then say, يَا حَيُّ يَا قَيُّومُ بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثُ أَصْلِحْ لِشَأْنِي كُلَّهُ وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ. He says to her, say, O the ever-living, يَا حَيُّ, O the sustainer of all things, Ya Qayyum, بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثُ, I seek help and assistance through your mercy. أَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهُ, rectify and perfect all my affairs. وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ, and do not entrust me. Don't leave me to myself, even for the blink of an eye. Allahu Akbar. Once in the morning, once in the evening. Not only that, but Anas radiallahu anhu also mentioned that whenever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam experienced a calamity of any sort, he would say, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghif. So this is not only said in the morning and in the evening, but it's also said when the doors have been closed in your face. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghif. Brothers and sisters in Islam, this is advice from the greatest of mankind, which is in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And who did he give this advice to? Who? Fatima radiallahu anha, who is also known as what? She is also known as Sayyidatu Nisa'i al-Alameen, Sayyidatu Ahli al-Jannah. She is the master and the chief of women. And she is the master and the chief of the woman of the paradise. So the greatest man on earth giving advice to the greatest woman on earth. Allahu Akbar. How much more important is this dua for you and I? From the greatest to the greatest. Even we are in desperate need of this dua. More importantly, understanding this dua, and even of greater importance, saying it in its right times and asking Allah Azza wa Jal through this dua. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Ya Hayy. The name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al Hayy, the all living. Al Qayyum, the sustainer of all things. This is known as At-Tawassul bi Asma'illahi Al-Husna. The dua begins by 2 great names of Allah. And when a dua begins with the name of Allah, this is known as At-Tawassul. At-Tawassul means seeking a way to Allah. And the best way to seek a way to Allah is to call unto Him through His names. And this is the etiquette of a dua. This is the best type of a dua that begins with you asking Allah through His names first. Then your request comes later. Don't you find this to be the very same pattern in the first surah of the Qur'an? Surah Al-Fatiha? Surah Al-Fatiha has a dua in it. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. But Surah Al-Fatiha did not begin Allahu Akbar. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. That's not manners. Al-Fatiha began with a praise of Allah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise belongs to the Lord of the worlds. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Can you see how many names of Allah we've mentioned so far? Lillah, Rabb, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik, Yawmiddin. Five names of Allah we began by praising Him. Afterwards came Ihdina الصراط المستقيم. So this dua follows the same pattern, and this is the best type of a dua. But I tell you something, in addition to this, what makes this dua unique is that Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum are actually the greatest names of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is proven in a hadith. Abu Umam Al-Bahili radiyallahu anhu, he said, Ismu Allah Al-A'zam, the greatest name of Allah. الَّذِي إِذَا دُعِيَ بِهِ أَعْطَى وَإِذَا سُئِلَ بِهِ أَجَابْ. That if you were to ask Allah through this name, He will definitely give. He said that the greatest name of Allah is found in three surah of the Qur'an. Surah Al-Baqarah, in Surah Al-Imran, and Surah Taha. If we were to look at these three surah, we're going to find two of Allah's names that are common and repeated in these three surah. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. In Surah Al-Imran, alif lam mim, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. And in Surah Taha, wa'anatil wujuhu lil-hayyi al-qayyum. Therefore, the greatest name of Allah Azza wa Jal is al-hayyu al-qayyum, as mentioned by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah. So we're off to a powerful start in this dua. And why are they the greatest names of Allah Azza wa Jalla? Al-Ulama rahimahumullah, they said because the name of Allah Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, they combine and they gather within them all the attributes and the actions of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So when you say Al-Hayy, you're actually also calling out to Allah through His name Al-Aleem, Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir, Al-Wadud, Al-Kareem, because He's Al-Hayy. So Al-Hayy necessitates that He's also Al-Aleem, Al-Qadir, Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir, and all these names and attributes. That's why they were the greatest names of His subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Al-Hayy, the all-living. Wallahi, the one who knows Allah through His name Al-Hayy will find an immense and an abundant amount of peace and comfort and serenity in his life. I want to give you an example. And imagine with me, a child, a young child, comes up to his father and he says, Dad, if you were to die, who's going to look after us? Who's going to pay our bills? Who's going to feed us? Who's going to drive us around and look after us and take care of us? The child is scared, he's worried, and he's speaking to his father like that. And I pause here for a moment to say to you that, wallahi, this is not a situation to be imagined. This is actually something that is actually happening. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bring immense relief and aid to our brothers and sisters in Gaza and around the world. But now imagine with me, this father looks back at his child and he says, Son, I'm alive. I'm living. Don't worry about this. How much comfort is put in this child's heart the moment he hears from his father that he's alive and living? Son, don't worry about these things. Move on. To Allah Azza wa Jal belongs the highest of example. You might be sitting alone in your house in the corner of your room, thinking and worrying where shaitan is exaggerating the matters for you. How am I going to live? Where am I going to live? What am I going to buy? My work, my job, my relationships, who this and that, my health. And Allah Azza wa Jal from above is telling you, I'm Al-Hayy. So long as I'm alive, you don't have to overburden with these stresses and these matters in your head and in your mind. Subhanallah. And you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died, Al-Madinah was in all sorts of chaos. Umar radiallahu anhu threatened to kill anyone who said the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is dead. Uthman radiallahu anhu fell to the ground and he was crying. Ali radiallahu anhu couldn't control himself. These are the best of the companions. And the rest of the companions were all over the place. Some rushing to Al-Madinah. Anas radiallahu anhu is saying Al-Madinah has become gloomy and dark and black. And everyone's in chaos. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu took the minbar and he addressed the people. You know what he said? He read an ayah and afterwards he said to them, مَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتُ. He said to them, whoever was worshipping Muhammad, then Muhammad has died, صلى الله عليه وسلم. And whoever was worshipping Allah, then Allah is the all-living. لَا يَمُوتُ doesn't die. He reminded the people of the name of Allah Al-Hayy and he restored peace and tranquility in the entire society. If the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla Al-Hayy, what it's supposed to do? It's supposed to bring a tremendous amount of comfort and peace and tranquility in the heart. Imagine companions that didn't know how to respond the moment they heard the name of Allah Al-Hayy, they settled down. Allahu Akbar. When you say Ya Hayy, you're reminding yourself before the day begins that you're supposed to rely on Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill your affairs and your matters. And that you're supposed to accept whatever comes from Him of decree. He's Al Hayy subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al Hayy, Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Allah says, put your trust and reliance upon the all-living, the one who doesn't die. You know, when I ask you the question, brothers and sisters, why do you rely upon Allah? Do you know why do you rely upon Allah? Why? In this ayah, Allah told us the reason for why we should rely upon Him. He said, وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. He said, rely on the all-living, the one who doesn't die. So anyone that ever asks you ever again, why do you as a Muslim rely upon Allah? Your answer should be, because He's all living and He never dies. That's why I rely upon Him. And I give you an understanding for this. If you rely on other than Allah, then you're relying on something that perishes and is destroyed. Because nothing lives, outlives Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's no such thing. So if I relied on someone or something to fulfill a certain matter, and this person dies or this thing perishes and it's destroyed, I'm left with unfinished business. Or I gotta move to someone else. Lakin if you relied upon Allah and you put your trust in Him, then Allah never dies. So you have relied upon a strong source. Your matters will get fulfilled. They will be completed. If you rely on other than Him, then the moment that thing is destroyed or dead, do you have unfinished business? How are you going to finish your duties? How are you going to finish your businesses? Who's going to be out there to hear you again? That's why we rely upon Him, because He is the all-living. So Ismullah al-Hayy teaches us that we rely upon Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Hayy is opposite to al-Mayyit. Hayy is opposite to the dead. Hayy is the ever-living that possesses complete life. Unlike human beings, look at us, humans and jinn kind and animals. We all are hayy as well, we're living. But our life is very, very, very incomplete. There was a stage where we didn't even exist. لم يكن شيئاً مذكوراً. Look how deficient your hayat, your life is. Then there comes a time where we will not exist, we will die as well. When you sleep, that's considered death. When you get sick, your life is not complete. When you're heedless of Allah Azza wa Jal, your life is missing at that moment. So our life is up and down, up and down. When we say about Allah Al-Hayy, meaning Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Awwal Wal-Akhir. He's the first. First, meaning He does not have a beginning. He doesn't have a beginning. No one came before Allah and no one existed with Allah. Because if something came before Allah or existed with Him, it would have been a Lord with Allah or it would have been a Lord before Allah. So Allah is al-awwal, hay, He does not have a beginning. And Allah is al-akhir, falaysa ba'daka shay. He's the last. What does the last mean? What does it mean? It means when everything is perished and destroyed, He remains. He remains. When everything has been destroyed and perished, He remains. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Hay. So He has no beginning and He has no name. That's why from His names is Al-Hay, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the name of your Lord. How much strength does this give the believer to know that the one of the names of your Lord is Al-Hay? Look at every other Lord that is worshipped on earth. What is it? An idol? People worship a cow. Some worship monkeys. Some worship other human beings. Some worship the dead. Some worship a man-made law. People are different in their worships. Like all these things that are worshipped besides Allah, they are not hay. They are not hay. Something is dead, something is living, something is imperfect, something has no control over himself, like a statue or an idol. Like, in how much strength does it give for you and I to know that we worship Al-Hay? Al-Hay, the all-living, doesn't have a beginning, doesn't have an end. Allahu Akbar. And brothers and sisters in Islam, even prophets, they would use the name of Allah Al-Hay when calling their people to Allah and to Al-Islam. Look at the case of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He comes to his people and he says to them, you know what he says to his people? He says, هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ. When the people were worshipping idols, he said to them, do these idols listen to you? What's he telling him? He's telling him, your idols are dead. They don't listen. They don't respond. As for my Lord, He's Al-Hay. He hears every call I call out to Him, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, this is an effective way to call others to Islam through the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Hay. How can you worship something that is dead? How can you worship something that doesn't listen to you? Subhanallah. Al-Hay, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, also means the one who gives life. Who gave you and I life other than Allah Azza wa Jal? Allah Azza wa Jal gives life in whichever way He wants. There was a man that was killed intentionally among Bani Israel. And Bani Israel didn't know how to solve the murder case. So Allah Azza wa Jal said to them, commanded them, take a cow, slaughter it, take a piece of it, a limb of it, and throw it on the dead person. And they did that. And this dead man was resurrected by Allah's permission, Al-Hayy. He said to them, this man killed me. And then he went back to being dead. This is a story Allah mentions in the Quran. Al-Hay can give life the way he wants, however he wants. لأنه الحي سبحانه وتعالى. And the greatest life that Allah would ever give mankind, and ready to listen to this, life upon Iman and Islam. Allahu Akbar. That's the greatest life Allah will ever give you. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says, أَوَمَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla speaks in the Quran about a person who is dead. Al-ulama, rahimahumullah, they say, مَيْتًا عَلَى الْكُفْرِ. He is dead with disbelief. فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. And we gave him life. Here in this ayah, life means life upon Islam and Iman. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. And then we made for him light. Light meaning the guidance of the Qur'an. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. He carries this light among mankind and he spreads the guidance and the light to people. This is the type that Allah praised. But notice, when Allah referred to the Iman of this person, He said, فَأَحْيَيْنَاهُ. We gave him life. So when you say, يَا حَيْ, what you're calling onto is saying, oh Allah, give me life. Give me the greatest life of all, and that's life upon Iman and Islam. Maintain that state of Iman within my heart. Allahu Akbar. Ya Hayy. Ya Qayyum. Ya Qayyum. Al-Qayyum always comes with the name of Allah, Al-Hayy. Wal-Qayyum is Al-Qa'imu Bi-Dhatihi Al-Muqimu Li-Ghayrihi. Al-Qayyum is the one who sustains himself and sustains others. Al-Qayyum is the one who doesn't rely and depend on anyone, rather all his creation depend on him subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's Al-Qayyum, he's independent of everyone. He creates them, he takes their life, he sustains them, he provides them, he guides them, he helps, he assists them, he does everything for them. That's Al-Qayyum subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَمَنْ هُوَ قَائِمٌ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ. Allah is the maintainer of every soul. Each and every single one of us here depends on others in one way or another. A baby depends on the mother for survival. A child depends on his parents for survival. Children depend on their teacher for education. A wife depends on her husband for him to fulfill his financial responsibility, for her to live. The man depends on his work, that they provide work for him and they pay him in order for him to live on earth. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is Al-Qayyum. He doesn't depend on anyone at all. Imagine I told you, brother, sister, I want you to be a Qayyum for your street today. Just for your street. See, from the beginning of your street to the end of your street. Be a Qayyum for your street tonight. What does that mean? It means provide for everyone tonight in your street. Solve all their problems. Listen to all their requests. You have to understand everything in every language they're speaking about. Also, you need to regulate everyone's blood pressure, their temperature, the function of their organs. Look after every bird, after every insect in that street of yours. Just that one street. After every cat, after every dog, the ants, the insects, everything. Can you do that? Imagine then we told you two streets. Or we said to Yahi, half a street. Your own house only. I mean, just look after yourself. You cannot. Al-Qayyum subhanahu wa ta'ala maintains everything at one moment. Not just your street or your suburb. Not just the city or the country or the continent. The entire globe and everything in existence in the heavens and in the earth and everywhere. The eyes of man have never observed and seen yet. That's the name of Allah Azza wa Jal, Al-Qayyum. Al-Qayyum. You cannot do a single thing without Al-Qayyum. You cannot wake up in the morning without Al-Qayyum. You cannot eat and digest your food without Al-Qayyum. You need Al-Qayyum for your heart to be rectified and purified from sins. Wealth, you need Al-Qayyum. Health, you need Al-Qayyum, and you need him in every aspect of your life. Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. And after you call unto Allah Azza wa Jal with these two great names of his, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and remember, we said whoever calls unto Allah through these two names, his dua is accepted. And that we need to sometimes change our attitude we have for a dua. And I love probably the best attitude out there was the way Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu worded it. He said, أَنَا لَا أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الْإِجَابَ وَلَكِنْ أَحْمِلُ هَمَّ الدُّعَاءَ. He said, I don't carry a concern for whether Allah accepts my dua or not. I don't care about this because Allah Azza wa Jal has already guaranteed that He answers and He responds the way He sees befitting. I carry the worry and the concern of making the dua. That's the concern and the worry that you and I should have, is making the dua. Don't worry about its response. Allah heard you. And Allah gives you according to how He sees befitting for you. Shufa, dua is not like Uber Eats. Uber Eats, you get your app, you make your order, you send it through. And you expect what you ordered to come on the door. If it doesn't, you get angry, you get upset. I didn't order this. Why now? I want the refund. Well, you call and you make your complaints. No problem. A dua is not like that. A dua is not, I didn't ask for this. Ya Rabb, where is what I asked for? It doesn't work like that. A dua, as I said to you, a relationship with Allah. It's a worship, a worship. Every time you call unto Allah, until you earned a lot of reward, you earned the pleasure of Allah. Allah wants to hear from you. Keep going, more and more. What do you expect? Expect all good from Allah. Expect good. Don't expect what you asked. Do you know what's good for you? Like, you know, one of the dua is, Allahumma inni as'aluka min al-khayri kulli. Oh Allah, I ask you from all forms of goodness. Why are you asking Allah that if you knew what was good for yourself? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make this dua. Why is he asking Allah for all goodness if he knows what's good for himself? The word, the dua itself is teaching you that you don't know what's good for you. So ask it from Allah Azza wa Jalla and then put your trust in Allah and whatever comes is good. Naam. Ya Hayyu, Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika astaghith. Now the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to practice the worship of al-istighatha. Al-istighatha, bi rahmatik. Through your mercy alone I seek help and assistance and aid. What is al-istighatha? Have you ever heard of the worship al-istighatha in your life? Al-istighatha is one of the highest types of dua when asking and begging Allah Azza wa Jal. Al-istighatha it's called. Al-istighatha is talabul ghawf. Al-istighatha means to seek relief and help and aid and assistance and support from Allah Azza wa Jal that He save you from evil and calamity and fitan and sin and fasad and corruption that is around you. That's what al-istighatha is. It comes from the word ghawth and ghaith. Ghaith means rain. But I want you to imagine a group of people stuck in the desert, all their livestock and their crop is in the desert. And there is absolute not a drop of rain that has come down for the last month or two. And they are literally about to die, them and their crops and their livestock, if no water comes down. So they begin to ask Allah for rain. What is the state of people that know they are living their final hours on life if water doesn't come down from the sky right now? What is their state when they're making dua? This is the most sincere of dua that comes from the heart. The most sincere type of dua. When the rain comes down, that rain is called ghaith. So al-istighatha is like that. When you are in an absolute desperate situation, you are covered and immersed in danger. That if Allah's mercy is not bestowed and showered upon you at that very moment, you are doomed and destroyed forever. This is the worship of al-istighatha. I ask and I implore and I beg Allah Azza wa Jal through His mercy that He save you from the evil and the corruption. And how important is this dua, especially in this day and age that we are living in, brothers and sisters in Islam. And I want to take you to a moment in the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in how he practiced al-istighatha, so you can understand. Brothers and sisters in Islam, there are things that just don't have a solution. There are things that just don't have any solution on earth whatsoever. Wallah, nothing at all. Zero. No one can do anything for you. Nothing can do anything for you. The only solution is above and Allah Azza wa Jalla and no one else. And I tell you something. Today, of course, we observe the situation globally and we see hundreds and hundreds of videos from our brothers and sisters in Gaza. May Allah Azza wa Jalla bless them and give them aid and victory and support. But literally, you come to a point where you say, Wallah, what is the solution? What is the solution for these oppressed people? Ya Ammi, there is no solution. There's nothing on earth that is of solution. Every court has failed. Every justice system has failed. Every human being has failed. Every power and whatever it is people can bring together has all failed. Nothing has worked. Did you and I think of al-istighatha in this moment or not? The solution lies in al-istighatha. I take you to a moment in a seerah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is out on the battle of Badr, ready to face the disbelievers for the first battle ever, major battle in Islam. Situation was desperate, it was difficult. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only has 314 companions with him. And they're not even ready for war. They don't have their proper weapons, they don't have their proper swords, their arrows are not even sharpened because they didn't expect this battle altogether. They didn't have the finest of fighters with them, they just, well, all of a sudden Allah wants a war to happen. 1,000 of the enemy of Allah is coming towards them, well equipped, trained with the best of their swords, backup, everything you need for a war, they have it. Many horses and so on, the Sahaba, they had one horse with them. One horse! What are you going to do? There's no backup. Wait, who are you going to call yet? Nothing backup that's coming from Al-Madinah. No special army is coming. Nothing is coming. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives the night before. So then, what does he do? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he says, by Allah, I did not hear anyone seeking anything more intense than what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam was seeking from his Lord on the day of Badr. He faced the Qibla. He raised his hand. Shuf, when we're making dua, we have three ways. You either do this, ud'u Allah bi akuffi butunikum, like this, or like this. And there's one more common, and that's like this. Well, that's an istighatha right up here. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that night, he would raise his hand facing the Qibla the whole night. فَجَعَلَ يَهْتِفْ, he would say, oh Allah, fulfill what you have promised me. Oh Allah, grant me what you have promised me. He would say, oh Allah, we are a group of Muslims. If we are destroyed today, you will never be worshipped on earth ever again. These are the Muslims here. If they're gone, Islam is finished. And he would continue the entire night to the point where the cloak he was wearing fell off his shoulder. That's how high his hand was up in the sky. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes from behind, takes the cloak down from the ground, and he puts it on the shoulder of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, Ya Nabi Allah, kafaka munashadatuka rabbak. He said, Messenger of Allah, this dua is enough, and Allah will grant you what he has promised you. You see this situation? Allah, when he spoke about it in the Quran, he said what? إِذْ تَسْتَغِيثُونَ رَبَّكُمْ. When you were seeking istighatha from your Lord, when you were seeking Allah's help and aid and support, what was the result? فَاسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ, he answered you. أَنِّي مُمِدُّكُمْ بِأَلْفٍ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ مُسَوِّمِينَ, I will send you 1,000 angels in support. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, brothers and sisters in Islam. Wallahi, sometimes mafihak, there is no worldly solution at all. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was making this dua, he knew, we don't have the best weapons, we don't have horses, no backup is coming, we absolutely have nothing, zero, zero, zero on earth. There's no solution from there. Bas, that's it, the only solution left. And he engaged in the worship of al-istighatha. Allah Azza wa Jal did not fail him. I think, and I am certain, one of the greatest things that we are in desperate need of right now in this day and age is al-istighatha. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal through his name, Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, that he grant assistance and support to our brothers and sisters in Gaza and wherever they are oppressed. But that doesn't lift the burden from you, brothers and sisters. Everyone tonight in his dua, هذا is very important. Raise your hand. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, bi rahmatika nastaghith. And then ask Allah Azza wa Jal to send his mercy upon your brothers and sisters in Islam. My brothers and my sisters, shuf, when Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about al-istighatha in the Quran in Surah Al-Ahqaf, something incredible as well. He spoke about the rebellious child and the parents and how they dealt with him. And I tell you, wallahi, this is something that is on the rise in this day and age as well. How many parents have complained from their rebellious children? Hada, my child doesn't listen to me. My child raises his voice on me. I cannot control him. He does what he likes. He does what he wants. What's his solution? I took him to the Shaykh. I took him to Al-Masjid, Al-Quran, Al-Mahdi. Nothing's working. Oh, nothing's working. Come. The same situation in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَالَّذِي قَالَ لِوَالِدَيْهِ أُفِّلْ لَكُمَا. Allah speaks about a rebellious child that came to his parents and said to them, أُفِّلْ لَكُمَا. That's a word of insult and abuse towards his parents. Then he kept on going and said, أَتَعِدَانِنِي أَنْ أُخْرَجِ. He rebels against his parents and he says, why do you keep promising me that I'm going to come out from my grave? The kid's an atheist. He doesn't believe in Allah and in resurrection anymore. أَتَعِدَانِنِي أَنْ أُخْرَجِ وَقَدْ خَلَتِ الْقُرُونُ مِنْ قَبْلِي. And these are the generations that have come way before me. Where? They're still in their grave. No one's come out. وَهُمَا. Allah now speaks about the parents. وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهِ. خلاص, what do we do with him? We've advised him, we've warned him, we took him to a shaykh, a school, Islam, took him Umrah, Hajj, nothing's working. And don't look for too far. Up to the heavens is your solution. وَهُمَا يَسْتَغِيثَانِ اللَّهِ. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal. Beg Allah. Implore Allah Azza wa Jal. Speaking out your situation to Allah. Enough. People are not going to do anything for you. Well, Shaykh doesn't have a magic spell that he can say to your child and will instantly change him and make him a righteous man overnight. Lakin into your situation and your solution عند Allah Azza wa Jal. That's how al-istighatha was mentioned in the Quran. You see, in these pressing situations where there is just no worldly solution at all. Often we forget this, ikhwani. That's why the need for us to remind each other about this importance of al-istighatha. بِرَحْمَتِكَ أَسْتَغِيثِ. You're imploring, you're begging Allah's mercy. Because if Allah descends His mercy upon you, خلاص, there's nothing for you to worry about. What your situation is, you're enveloped with the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Doesn't matter what you face now. You've earned your success. We're coming to the end. أَصْلِحْ لِي شَأْنِي كُلَّهُ. Now the dua. Oh Allah, rectify and perfect all my affairs. Subhanallah. كُلَّهُ. You know what that means? You know how comprehensive this dua is? When you say, oh Allah, rectify, fix, correct all my affairs, it means, oh Allah, fix everything for me. My faith, my heart, my limbs, my organs, my cells, my sleep, my eating, my house, my income, my friends, my relatives, my work, my studies, my spouse, my business, my relationships, my health, my afterlife, the life in the grave, each and every single aspect of life is included in this dua. أصلح لي شأني كله. Whether you can remember these things as making the dua or not, they are all included in your dua. How beautiful of a dua is this? You see the importance of it every morning and every evening and whenever you're faced by a calamity? Very important, brothers and sisters in Islam. أصلح, my Lord, fix. But then hang on. If you want Allah to fix your situation, to fix your affairs, fix your relationships, your iman, your this, your that, your wealth, your business, your partner, you got to do one thing in return. And that is that you need to fix your relationship with Allah, right? How do we fix our relationship with Allah? One thing. It's called وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Have you ever heard this in the Quran? إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. الصالحات, الصالحات, righteous deeds. Why were the righteous deeds called صالحات? It comes from the word صلاح. صلاح means to fix something. Righteous deeds are called صالحات because they fix your relationship with Allah. Every salat fixes your relationship with Allah. Every sadaqah corrects that broken relationship with Allah. So if you want Allah to aslih for you, if you want Allah to fix things that are going wrong in your life, then fix between you and Him. How? By doing as-salihat. Above the list, your obligations. Above the list, as-salat. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will respond and give you that which you ask for. Didn't He subhanahu wa ta'ala say, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ. I answer the dua of the caller whenever he calls. But then he said, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Answer me. He said, I'll answer you. Then he said, answer me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. This is why a dua between adhan wal iqama is an accepted dua, right? If you didn't know that, know this. A dua between adhan and iqama is accepted. You know why? Because when the muadhin said, حَيَّ عَلَى الصَّلَاةِ, he said to you, come to الصَّلَاةِ, you came. You answered Allah. So now you're in a position where Allah will answer you. That's why dua was accepted between al-adhan wal-iqama. And you've answered, you've come. You're ready to engage in the commandment of Allah and pray. أصلح لي شأني كله. Finally, ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. And my Lord, don't entrust me. Don't leave me to myself even for the blink of an eye. And this implies the desperate need that the slave has for his Lord. In every single moment of your life, you need Him. وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَىٰ نَفْسِي طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ means Allah, I surrender. I will not rely on myself even for the blink of an eye. There is nothing less in time than the blink of an eye. And you're asking Allah, don't allow me to rely on myself even for that much. Because if I was to rely on myself for a split second, I will be doomed and destroyed. If you rely upon yourself, you know what you did? You've relied on a weak human being. And they are weak. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. If you rely on yourself, you've relied upon a weak source. You'll become doomed, gloomed, and destroyed. SubhanAllah. وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. How important is this dua, especially in this day and age, of technology and advancements. A person might be deceived to think that he's in control of everything. And I rely upon myself. Khalas, brother, it's all under my control. And I got myself to where I am in the world because of my experience, because of my contacts, because of my years of study. I've built my empire because of my experience and knowledge. Wrong, don't do that. This is opposing the meanings within وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. You're only where you are by the success of Allah Azza wa Jalla, nothing else. SubhanAllah. Hack people, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentioned وَظَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. Until the people, when the people start thinking that they are in control of everything, that's when Allah would destroy them. That's why it's important never to rely upon yourself. SubhanAllah. Very important, because how many people chose to rely on themselves and fell into major doubts and sins? Some people, they say, no, trust me, it's just a glance. I'll just look at this image. It's on social media. It's just a glance. I know myself. I won't fall into anything haram. How many of these ended up falling into al-haram? And I trust myself, no, I'm just going to listen to this podcast between someone and someone discussing some advanced matters related to faith and ideology. No, I'm not going to be affected. I'm just going to listen. Trust me, I know myself. I won't be affected. Then he gives his E to poison. Then afterwards, wallahi, akhi, wallahi, I have doubts about Allah. I have doubts of the afterlife. Who told you to listen to that? Why did you poison yourself? Why did you expose yourself to these things? Why did you trust yourself? You see, brothers, this is what it is. So that's why, وَلَا تَكِلْنِي. You don't want to rely upon yourself at all. And this is why Sheikh Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, rahimahullah, he was asked once, can a person rely upon himself? Are we allowed to say, I trust myself, I believe in myself? It is a very famous thing that goes around people, and they say, believe in yourself, trust yourself. He said, it is haram for a believer to say such a thing. Where's the evidence? Here, this dua, وَلَا تَكِلْنِي إِلَى نَفْسِ طَرْفَةَ عَيْنٍ. Don't entrust me to myself even for the blink of an eye. And what's your nafs? إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. Your nafs calls to sin and foolishness. If you relied on yourself, that's what you're going to end up in. So, يعني, it is very important that we seek Allah Azza wa Jalla's help through this dua. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we're coming to the end of our lecture, and we remind you all that this is the dua taught, few words, the greatest of mankind to the greatest of women, as a solution whenever the doors are shut in your life. And don't just leave this dua for when you're faced with a pressing matter. Say it every morning and every evening. You train your tongue upon it so that whenever you're faced with a difficulty, you will automatically remember, this is the dua to go to. This is what I would turn to Allah Azza wa Jal through these words. And then I tell you, I share something with you personal. You know, the adhkar al-sabah wal-masa' are about 24 adhkar. For those of you that don't know what I'm even talking about, then you're missing out on a lot. And I recommend for you to go online to a course that I delivered over 2 years. It's called An Explanation of the Morning and Evening Adhkar. It's in about 30 lectures, I explain them all. But don't worry, 24 might seem too much for a lot of us, especially if you're new to this concept and worship. So personally, when I'm pressed for time and I'm not able to say all 24, I have anchors. There are 3 that I always have to say, and I cannot compromise on them no matter what I'm in. Number 1, Ayatul Kursi. Number two, قل هو الله أحد. قل أعوذ برب الفلق. قل أعوذ برب الناس. Three times each. Preferably first, قل هو الله أحد. Then قل أعوذ برب الفلق. Then قل أعوذ برب الناس. Then again and then again. And finally, this one. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث أصلح لي شأني كله ولا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين. And if you read something of the morning أذكار and something of the evening أذكار, then you are considered that you have said أذكار الصباح والمساء. And if you have times on the weekends, then you sit down and you say them all. And they have immense benefit. All you have to do is listen to the first lecture I gave on that series for you to be introduced to this powerful worship that you will realize afterwards, how did I live all my life without this? So brothers and sisters in Islam, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us goodness, to grant us mercy and success. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in occupied Palestine. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring His justice upon them. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept from us all, He forgive our sins and our shortcomings. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.